Inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We Equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me on this Thursday afternoon. And yes, inauguration just a few days away. I know you're counting down the not the days, not the hours, not the seconds. I mean, it's so close, and there's so much relief in America. I mean, everybody's just like, oh, this is finally going to be. I mean, this guy Biden, I'm telling you, even on his way out the door, he just can't let go of that power. You know, he should have exited stage left. I don't know, maybe like March of 2021. I mean, he was already mentally gone, but he just can't let go. Executive order after executive order, pardon after pardon. I mean, he is going to use every bit of it, and some of them are just over the top, of course. I think he's doing great damage, not just to the country, but to the Democrat brand. You know, not that you could hurt it anymore, but I think you can, and I think he continues to do so. So anyway, a few more days left of that, and then, of course, Monday, the inauguration. Now, listen, I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm not going. I'm not going to go freeze my buns off again. I did it in 2000. I went to W's inauguration, but we're going to leave it to the young, so Walker's going to be out there, but I'm not. So I'll be with you from the studio. Walker will be with you from the inauguration, and, you know, it's a young man's war. Young men fight wars, old men pay for wars, right? So not that I'm paying for Walker to go, but anyway, I know what you're thinking. Rick, you're a summer soldier. You're a sunshine patriot. You're supposed to be a winter soldier. Sorry. I mean, I think of myself as a winter soldier when it comes to just staying in the fight and sacrificing, but not to be cold. Nope, not going to do it. Just not when I don't have to. I mean, if the war was, I mean, if I was at Valley Forge with Washington, maybe, as long as the propane's working, you know, and the heaters in the little cabins are, didn't they have those? No, they didn't have those. Okay, maybe I wouldn't have been that much good to George Washington, but maybe I would have been tougher back then. I don't know. My point is I'm not going to be there, but I am going to be watching and just loving every minute of it. Yep, 80s rock song. I am going to be loving every minute of it. It's going to feel like, guys, I mean, I'm telling you, it's going to feel like the nation has been reborn. And it's not because of Donald Trump himself. It's because of the movement. It's because God has given us a reprieve, and he loves to confound our wisdom. I remember David Barton telling me this. When was it? Let's see. I guess in, it would have been about July of 2016. So if you remember in 2016, when Trump wins the primary, there were some of us that were not happy about that, including me. I mean, I was a Ted Cruz guy all the way. And Trump was obnoxious. He was dismissive. He was just a jerk to Ted Cruz and to his wife. And I had a hard time because that was my guy. It was my candidate and my friend. And Trump was treating him that way. And so, you know, that was June, I guess, of 2016, in that election year, that it was, you know, finally all over and we're moving into the convention. And Trump was saying nasty things about Cruz. And I couldn't get over it. And I was having a hard time, man. I mean, I was obviously not going to support Hillary Clinton. I was going to support Donald Trump and vote for Donald Trump. But I was having a hard time getting excited about Donald Trump. And even honestly, deep down, was thinking, you know, this guy's so bad that Hillary's going to win. I mean, she's going to mop the floor with him. It's going to decimate Republicans all over the country. Boy, was I wrong. Somebody give me some crow to eat. But it was about July, I think, on Wall Builders Radio, and David Barton says, you know, something to the effect of, Rick, God loves to just confound our wisdom and just almost mock us and just laugh at our, what we think is wise. And he was talking about my political, I thought, astuteness and you know, my analysis of what would work and what wouldn't work and who would win and who wouldn't win and all of those things. And he's like, Rick, God knows best. And for whatever reason, he said, you know, for whatever reason, we had what we view as godly candidates in the primary. People like, you know, Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and these other guys that were definitely carrying a much more faith-based agenda and background and all of those things. And fair, you know, fair race. I mean, there was no stealing of the primary. For whatever reason, Donald Trump walked away with it in the primary. And I just remember him saying, you know, God doesn't need our approval for who he's going to use to help us. And man, here we are. And frankly, Trump won me over by the time November rolled around in 2016. One of the ways that he won me over was in his answer to a question at a chaplain's gathering where my friend Chad Robichaud asked him about chaplains in the military being able to pray in Jesus' name, and a lot of, I don't know if you remember what was going on in the Obama military, but they were, you know, basically making it very difficult for people of faith. And Trump at that time just goes off on the Johnson Amendment, which was not the question, right? The question was about, can chaplains pray in Jesus' name? But Trump understood what we're really talking about, and what Chad was really asking about is religious liberty. Can people exercise their faith in whatever arena they're in? And so he did answer the question on the chaplain thing, but then he went off on the Johnson Amendment and talked about how it was so bad and we needed to get rid of it. And I remember thinking, I mean, I was sitting in some hotel lobby somewhere in the country, traveling, speaking, and I don't even remember where I was, but I'm sitting in the lobby eating my breakfast, watching this exchange between Chad and President Trump at this chaplain's gathering. I recognized Chad's voice, but I wasn't absolutely sure it was him because the camera wasn't on him. And then we had him on Wall Builders a couple days later to talk about his instigating that question. Anyway, it won me over to Trump. That was the beginning of Trump, me being convinced that he really was an instrument that God was using, and that his wisdom was beyond what I had seen. And then in the third, it was either the second or third debate with Hillary, when partial birth abortion came up, and Trump's visceral reaction to that, and just his knee jerk, not well articulated, not well informed, frankly, with regard to all the nuances of the abortion debate that we pro-lifers could probably articulate way better. Didn't matter. He just had this gut, just visceral reaction to how evil partial birth abortion is, how wrong it is, how it should never happen in America. And he just, I mean, I think won that moment against Hillary, and frankly, at that point, won my heart and my support in a passionate way, rather than just being drugged to the polls to vote for him and hold my nose. It was like, wow, wait a minute, this guy really has something different. And then he did it in office. When he got in office, he immediately defunded all this crazy millions of dollars to the Palestinian Authority. He said, why are we giving money to this, you know, corrupt government to go murder Jews? I mean, that's stupid. They're using our money to do that. We shouldn't give them a penny. And so anyway, I think my point was, God uses people that we don't typically pick. And if you know, and think about David and King David, a murderer and an adulterer. Think about Moses, a murderer. You know, Trump hasn't done that. And so I think Monday, when he raises his hand, and we see this transition of power from these corrupt Marxist, free market hating, Bible hating, God hating, Constitution hating, left-wing radicals who have controlled our government for the last 4 years, when we see the transfer of power to a team that loves America, that loves the Constitution, that loves the founding principles of this country, that love the religious foundations of this country. I mean, so important how often Trump has talked about that, and the symbolic nature of his nod to the God consciousness and the biblical foundations. You cannot overemphasize those things. I don't care what you think he actually believes. In his position of authority and his position of leadership, to basically give the endorsement of the importance of those religious foundations is huge. So Monday is going to be a phenomenal day. And from the warmth of my studio, I will be with you here on At the Core as Walker Wildman freezes all of his fingers and toes and everything else. And we will have fun watching him do that. So, but make sure you tune in next Monday. And normally, of course, Walker with you Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and I'm with you Tuesdays, Thursdays. And then sometimes we're with you together. We'll be doing that Monday from separate studios, but or from separate parts of the country. But it's going to be fun. I think you're going to enjoy it. So look forward to that. I do encourage you this weekend to be praying for the president, praying for his safety, praying for, you know, no chaos, that all of the you know, plans of the enemy will be thwarted. You know, there's tons of plans and terrorist cells and crazy people and all of that stuff happens. We're in a country of 350 million people. You're going to have your crazies. You're going to have people that Trump's probably the most, while perhaps the most loved politician of our lifetime, the most hated man of our lifetime as well. And so there's no doubt that those kinds of things are being, that there are attempts towards those kind of things. And God has confounded that, and he has dismantled their plans, and he has given us a reprieve. And so pray for more and more and more of that, and that on Monday especially, that there'll be no disruptions, and that it'll be a wonderful day and a wonderful celebration for our country, and certainly for patriots and those who love the country. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be emotional. I mean, we've put a lot of our heart, minds, and souls into this. We've frankly known that we were very close to losing the country. If you didn't realize that, you should have. And as we celebrate on Monday, you should certainly be grateful to God because we came that close. And if you're not watching online, just think Maxwell Smart, and that's what I'm giving you right now. That close. Missed it by that much. In this case, a good miss. We missed by that much losing the country, perhaps for Ronald Reagan used to say 1,000 years of darkness. I think it would have been more like 2 or 3 generations of darkness, sort of like the children of Israel, 70 years of captivity. And for whatever reason, God has given us the reprieve. Now, this does not mean that our work is done. It does not mean we've saved the nation. It means starting on Monday, there will be a turning point and an opportunity to march towards saving the nation. It's very much that, I've said this, but let me say it again. It's very much that point in Nehemiah where the king has given permission to go rebuild. But we haven't rebuilt anything. The culture is still rotting, folks. I mean, there's still so much poison in the institutions of our nation, from entertainment to politics to business to all of it. There's a poison of cultural Marxism in every one of those institutions. And the rot is real. You have a ton of our citizens that believe in the evil, not in the good. And so that's where the work begins. We have permission to go rebuild the walls. The king, we the people in this country, are the king, and we the people have now given permission for us to go rebuild the walls just like Nehemiah did. And my challenge to you day in and day out is going to be to know what the bricks are that need to be used to rebuild in strength. If you want to rebuild liberty, what are the ingredients? What are the right bricks to lay, the right bricks to build with? And then how do you properly lay those bricks so that there's an effective foundation, a strong foundation to stand on? And where do you get the resources to do that? Because that's another thing. The king has given permission. If you remember in the book of Nehemiah, the king not only gave permission to go rebuild, he gave the money to go rebuild. He sent the letters to and all of those things. Well, we the people have given permission to rebuild. I'm not so sure that the money has been appropriated, but needs to be. And so now it's time to go rebuild. So Monday is the starting gate, man. The gun's going to be fired, and we're going to take off running, and we're going to start rebuilding as fast as we can. And I'm going to be challenging you to do that at the local level, not just the federal level. This isn't just about Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy dismantling the deep state and hopefully slashing, not just slashing budgets, slashing whole agencies, whole departments need to be absolutely gone. And it's not just at the federal level, it's the local level. So we're going to be living out that line in the Declaration that comes right after consent of the governed. It says that when any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. We're going to be living that out. We're going to be altering and abolishing. We're going to be abolishing departments, abolishing certain policies, and we're going to be altering our government back to a constitutional republic where the answer to the question, who decides, is most often you, the citizen, the individual, the parents, the family. That's where most of the power should lie. And yes, sometimes the answer to that question, who decides, should be local government or state government or federal government, but very limited, and we're going to redefine those jurisdictions and get back to a constitutional republic. What a wonderful time to be alive. What an exciting time to be on the front lines. What an amazing time to be a free citizen and have a voice. We'd love to hear your voice today. The phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on At the Core.
Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman here with American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, our tours for 2025, our spiritual heritage tours of Washington, D.C. and Williamsburg and Boston, they're filling up. They're halfway full now. And we've never had a response quite like this. So what I'm saying is, if you want to go with us this year to either Colonial Williamsburg, which includes Jamestown and Yorktown, or Washington, D.C. and all the sites of our nation's capital, including Mount Vernon, or if you want to go with us to Boston and see the Freedom Trail and all the sites of the greater Boston area. If you want to go on these trips with us this year, it's time to check into the information and register so that you make sure you're on one of our tours, the one you want to go on, obviously. So go to the website wildmangroup.com, WILDMONgroup.com. Hope to see you on one of these in 2025.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me on this Thursday. We're getting excited about Monday, Inauguration Day. Could not get here fast enough. We've been saying that for a while. And now, whew, just a few days away. That's exciting. The hearings going great this week with the nominees. All signs looking really positive for getting all of those through, and President Trump being able to hit the ground running on Monday. Deportation hopefully starting very quickly and could move very quickly. There's going to be a lot of restoration in this country in a very short period of time, and that restoration is not just going to happen at the federal level. We're going to be working on that at the local level, and there's so many different things that we can be doing. I'm going to try to channel a lot of our energy at Patriot Academy and American Family and Wall Builders and so many people that are ready to do something to save the nation and continue that good work and rebuild those walls and lay those bricks. So we're going to try to channel that into some very effective methods that are measurable so that we can see the walls being rebuilt as we restore God consciousness, for instance, in America, by getting the Ten Commandments and God We Trust and nativity scenes and all those things back into the culture, which the Kennedy case allows us to do. Restoring Declaration principles, actually getting back to the foundation as we're going to celebrate the 250th birthday of the country coming up in about 530 days or so. And then, you know, restoring just our basic biblical citizenship mindset, where we recognize as the church that our duty is to be salt and light, to actually be salty, to actually preserve and bring out the best in the meat, and to dispel the darkness as we bring in the light. Those take actions of living out God's word in every area of our life. We don't leave anything off limits. And of course, we're going to restore federalism as we get government back in its box, like we were talking about as we were headed to the break. So there's a lot of different things that we can be a part of. I'm going to give you an action item today, though, that's really easy. I mean, this is, no kidding, going to take you like 30 seconds, okay, maybe a minute, depending on how fast you are, to not just rebuild the walls, but actually save lives. Actually save a life. Think about that. I mean, how many opportunities do you get every day to actually save a life? I'm going to give you one today. We've got a great partner called Preborn, and you've heard us talk about it here at the core, but also in our other programming here at American Family Radio. But Preborn Ministry is not an idea where we're thinking this might work. Preborn actually saves lives and has an incredible, incredible track record. Over the last 18 years, Preborn partner clinics have counseled over 500,000 women that were considering abortion, and more than 300,000 babies have been saved. Think about that. 300,000 babies' lives have been saved. More than 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Christ. So I'm not just asking you to, you know, gamble on an idea here. You know, what if we got mamas to look at that baby in the womb in a sonogram? You know, I wonder if that, no, not I wonder, not it might help. It absolutely makes a difference. This is the best opportunity to save that life, to convince that mom to save that life. So here we are at a point in American history where 66 million babies have been taken since Roe v. Wade. Now we've got this abortion pill. That's 60% of all abortions. It's a new fight, folks. This is a new chapter in the pro-life sagas, and unfortunately the pro-death chapters of American history. And so we've got to be smart about how we do this. And one of the most effective things we can do is get a mom to do that sonogram and see that baby in her womb. See that life, and it is incredibly effective. A baby's chance at life is doubled when mama looks at that ultrasound. So the reason we partner with Preborn and ask you to be a part of this is because it takes money to do this. You got to pay for sonogram machines. You got to get out there and be wherever these abortion clinics are. I mean, we're basically competing with Planned Parenthood to get mom to come look at, you know, do the sonogram in with Preborn instead of with Planned Parenthood, because if you go to Planned Parenthood, they're just going to encourage you to kill the baby. That's what they're in the business of doing. And so if you come to a Preborn partner clinic, then you see the baby, and they're going to encourage you. They're going to give assistance. They're going to help save that baby's life. So you can be a part of it. Here's how it works. And in order to get the sonogram machines, in order to get there, and, you know, partner with these clinics across the country and basically go into the highest abortion areas are where we want to be, because we can save the most lives there. And so for all of that to happen, of course, takes dollars. Well, we got it broken down for you. We can tell you $28 bucks, $28. I mean, what is that? Four lattes, depending on where you get your latte. $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. That gives mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $28. That's what it costs for each of those opportunities for a mom to get an ultrasound. So here we go. $28. You make the call today or go online today and donate $28. That saves one life. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions. That's going to reach five women with the message of life. And again, doubling the chance that they will choose life and save that baby. We want to, here at American Family Radio, save 4,500 babies. Now, we'd love to save all of them, obviously, but it does take dollars to get these ultrasound machines. You might even want to donate enough to buy a new ultrasound machine to be able to go into a new area. You could give $5,000 today. I mean, you talk about being someone that makes a huge difference. If you donate $5,000 today, then that's going to sponsor ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network of clinics for one day. Think about what that would do. I mean, incredible. You'd save and rescue 200 babies. So I'm going to give you a phone number, and I'm going to give you a website, and then you think about, you pray about what the number is that God wants you to donate. $28 for one ultrasound, $140 for five ultrasounds, maybe $5,000 to sponsor ultrasounds for the entire network across the country and save 200 babies. Phone number is 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396. You just call in today. Give your credit card over the phone, make that donation over the phone, or like I said, 30 seconds to a minute. If you want to go fast like that, then go to the website, afr.net, afr.net, donate online, and you can help save lives. I love Preborn. I love the opportunity to get results. It's not just a theory. It's not just passing a piece of legislation where you hope something happens in the future. This one actually makes a difference immediately. Be a part of it. All right, AFR.net, that's the place to give today. Back to those headlines. There was a couple of these that, all right, this one I got to point out. I mean, the absurdity of this. Okay, so the Biden administration has, you know, they call it forgiving student loans. What they're really doing is they're forcing you to pay for someone else's loan, for someone else's debt, for someone else's 5 years, 6 years, 7 years of partying on a college campus somewhere, or going and studying, you know, lesbian dance theory. Hat tip to Heidi St. John, who gave me that one. You know, whatever their goofy degree was that they went and got, and they racked up $200,000, $250,000 in debt, and now you get to pay for it. That's essentially what Joe Biden has done. Every time he does one of these unconstitutional, absolutely illegal executive orders, where he takes their debt and sends it to you. He makes you pay for it in your tax bill. So wrong, so evil. The Supreme Court has slapped him down on this, and he just keeps on doing it. Well, now, yesterday, they've done what I think is even on another level of unconstitutional. They've actually forgiven another, or discharged, or in other words, making you pay for another $4.5 billion. $4.5 billion in student loan debts for 261,000 borrowers specific to one college. Let this sink in for a minute. Ashford University, it was this online college. They had hundreds of thousands of students. Apparently, they, you know, defrauded a bunch of people with what they promised they would provide and didn't provide. I don't know. I don't know the details of the case. I don't care. Since when, even if they were just the worst actors in the world, terrible, fraudulent people, since when, if someone else goes and commits fraud and steals money. Let's say they just completely stole money from people. Since when do we send you the bill for that? Since when do you get somebody convicted of fraud in court and turn around and tell the neighbors, hey, this person committed fraud, you have to pay for their fraud? What? Where does that, I mean, how is that justice? How is that even done in a free society? That is another crime. So you have fraud, conviction of fraud, where someone lies or whatever and convinces Joe to give $100,000 to the fraudulent player, and so then the fraudulent player, the government goes after him and prosecutes them for committing this fraud and says, yes, Joe was defrauded out of $100,000. Okay, well, since we found out that the fraudulent person did that to Joe, we're going to go over here to Susie down the street who had nothing to do with the in transaction at all, didn't even know that the transaction took place. Hey, Susie, you have to pay $100,000 to Joe so that he's made whole because of what this fraudulent university did. Does that make sense to anybody? Is that in any way just or fair or constitutional? Well, in Joe Biden's world, it is. Thankfully, his world is ending in the next few days, or at least his world as president is ending in the next few days. What's that wonderful line in The Gladiator? The days for honoring yourself will soon come to an end, or will soon be over. However it was that Russell Crowe said that in Gladiator. Oh, the days of Joe Biden honoring himself by giving out these medals of shame, honoring himself by supposedly forgiving debts and I'm saving all these people. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're stealing from us to supposedly save these people. I'm sorry. Buyer beware used to mean if you decide to go to a particular college or you decide to buy a particular meal or a car, you do your homework. You make the best decision that you can. And if you make a bad decision or if you get, you don't read the fine print, buyer beware. You pay the price for that. Now, if somebody lies to you and they defraud you and you sue them in court, maybe you get to make it right. Maybe they have enough money that you get a judgment and you're able to get made whole. But most of the time, it's not. That's life. That happens. You get cheated. That doesn't mean you get to go cheat someone else in order to make it right. We'd say two wrongs don't make a right. I'm sorry I'm getting just frantic here, but I just cannot stand the injustice of all of these student loan scams. The people that should be held accountable for this are the colleges. No student loan in America should be paid for by a taxpayer that had nothing to do with that transaction. You don't go to the neighbors who had nothing to do with you buying your truck that turned out to be a lemon and say, I'm sorry, I'm taking up a collection in the neighborhood. You have to pay for me ending up with a lemon truck that ended up not working. So it's the same with the student loan. If you go to a college and you get a lousy degree from these scam colleges, and I'm not just talking about this Asher or Ashbury or whatever it was called, I'm talking about every major university in America is a scam at this point. If you go to some college and you spend $250,000 wasting money and wasting years of your life to get a degree that does nothing but indoctrinate you to be a Marxist, and then you can't get a decent job when you get out there and you're not able to pay your student loan, that is not my fault. That is not Susie's fault down the street. She should not have to pay for your loan. She should not have to pay for your stupidity and your wasting of 5, 6, 7, 8 years and getting to party and go get your lesbian dance theory degree. And Joe Biden thinks that Susie should pay for it. Joe Biden thinks that you should pay for it. I'm sick of it. I cannot. Monday will not get here fast enough. And I'm telling you, if Donald Trump does any of this, I will say the same thing about him. I don't think he will because he understands that the colleges are the scam. And that they're the ones that should be paying for all of this student loan. If you default on your student loan, the college should be the one that loses out on that, not me, not Susie down the street. And when the government absorbs these debts, Susie's the one paying. I'm the one paying. You're the one paying. Oh, what a scam. What a scam. I know I'm supposed to be optimistic. I'm supposed to be smiling. Inauguration Day's coming. What'd I say in the last segment? The culture is rotting. If you think Joe Biden riding off into the sunset and Donald Trump getting sworn in on Monday just solves everything, it doesn't. We got a lot of hard work to do, folks. We got a lot of these spoiled brats out there that have gone to get these lesbian dance theory degrees and now have somebody else pay for it, and that they think it's going to be like that for the rest of their life. They think, you know, getting a job means that, you know, they can sit there on their phone the whole time and the customer is a nuisance to them. That's a cultural problem we have in America right now, a lack of work ethic and a lack of individual responsibility. And I think we got, man, it's going to take some tough love. We need, well, what's the old busting rocks? Anybody remember that one? Whenever, you know, we used to actually talk about that. You know, you commit a crime, you go bust rocks for a while and pay for that crime. You don't get to sit around watching TV and working out in the weight room all day long and sleeping on a fluffy pillow. It ought to be tough. Tough love, folks. That's what we need to do a whole lot more of in order to turn this thing around. And these kids that take out these loans and then ask you to pay for it, man, that's exactly what they need, some tough love. Okay, I'll stop ranting about that one. We'll see it. You know, I mean, by the time if a challenge to this one gets to the Supreme Court, I mean, it almost feels like, you know, is it worth the battle? Is it even worth fighting to make this thing happen? And you know, here's the other thing. University of Arizona, absorbs this Ashford College and takes on all of their assets and you know, once they're 35,000 students and their faculty and all that kind of stuff. So University of Arizona gets to do that and they don't have to pay the bills. I'm sorry, why do you just get the good stuff because you're the University of Arizona and you don't have to take on the debt? Normally you take on a company's you know, assets, you have to take on their debt too. It's just a scam, man. It's a total scam, and it's all these people scratching each other's backs because they're, you know, they think academia and the ivory tower world is so important. Man, I say let it rot. All these professors making $1 million or $750,000 a year and sitting around, let it rot. Let them all go out of business. There's a new model coming to town. I'm telling you, education is going to change radically in the next few years, and we're going to be right there at the forefront of it. There is no reason for you to go spend 5 years of your life and $250,000 getting an undergraduate degree. That is so absurd that people are doing that. There's no reason to do that. We're going to totally change that model. You're going to get the same knowledge and wisdom and the ability to go produce and provide for your family for a tenth of that and not even have to go to live on campus to do it. If you want to, then, you know, that can be your choice. But it's going to radically change education. So many good things coming on that front. What a great time to be alive, even as I'm ranting and raving about Joe Biden's stupidity and idiocy, the things that they're doing in their final few days. What a great time to be alive, because that's coming to an end, and we're going to turn this thing around. Okay, I know a lot of you are waiting on the phones. I'll get to your phone calls when we come back from the break. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. If you want to call in, 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back on At the Core.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us here on At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach, headed over to the phones. And if you would like to participate with us, we would love to have you call in at 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we take it all, comments, questions, insults, bring it on. We're ready for you. Let's go to Louisiana first. Tom in Louisiana, you're up first, man. Go ahead.
Hey, Rick, big fan of the show. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Now, here's my question, because we're giving away all this money for these liberal degrees, like you were saying. What do you think Jesus would think about all this now? Because I want to know, because I love the Bible. And Jesus, you know, I mean, where would he be in this, Rick? What do you think about that, all this sharing nonsense?
Well, it's a good question, man. Let's see, what would be the right parable that would compare to this kind of thing? I mean, the closest thing I can think of is the parable of the talents, where instead of rewarding the one that didn't pay their bills, didn't do the work, they actually take away from them and give it to the one that actually worked hard and got results. Which means to me, in this scenario, if we were to, you know, make that the right comparison, the right metaphor, instead of bailing out the kid that got the lesbian dance theory and wasted all that money and years, you know, we should not be bailing them out. They should actually have to work harder. And I mean, we're doing the exact opposite, is what I'm saying, of the parable. We're taking from the 10 to give to the one. And Jesus said to do the exact opposite of that. So that's the first thing that comes to mind for me. I know he'd be disgusted with the idea of stealing from the taxpayers, and then acting like you're somehow righteous, acting like you're the one that's doing something good. That's probably the part that bothers me the most. Like, you do it in the dead of the night, you know, you're a thief, and we can have choice words for you. But to do it in broad daylight and smile about it and act like you're somehow Robin Hood, you know, and a saint, and you're stealing from evil people to give to good people, almost, is the way they act, when actually they're stealing from the hardworking American that actually gets up every day and goes to work, provides for their family, balances all the tough things in life, puts up with a government that's had their boot on our neck for the last 4 years and done everything it can to destroy our lives and prevent us from being able to even be a family, let alone provide for our family. We put up with all of that. We work through all of that. And then you take the money from us and go give it to the spoiled brat that's driving around partying all the time and not even producing a nickel. The opposite of what Jesus said to do. So, yeah, great question, man. All right, let's head over to Virginia. David is in Virginia. David, hey, man, your turn, brother. What's up?
Hey, thank you. First thing I'd like to say is raise him and praise him, for he is holy.
Amen.
And at the risk of sounding prideful to say something quippy on the radio, I'd like to, you know, we need to be mindful of the enemy, because they're not going to just lay down without a fight. You know, there's very exciting times now, and I'm super excited to see what happens in the first couple years of Trump's presidency. And I'd like to say that sometimes when you're cutting the fat, sometimes you have to cut into the meat. So there's, you know, that might hurt in some little areas, and people might feel that, but you got to press on, because this is all for, you know, this needs to be done. And then I had a question yesterday.
Wait, hang on one second. Hold your question, David. Let me respond to what you just said and then ask your question. So
yes,
absolutely 100% right. This is going to feel like you've got this wounded, caged animal. There is no way they're going to go away quietly in the night. And if it looks like they're doing that, I promise you they are preparing to strike. This is evil personified in these people, and they are entrenched, and they've had power and no accountability for so long. There is no way they're going to go quietly into the night. So you're 100% right. It's going to be an absolute knockdown, drag out battle in order to make this thing happen. And when it comes to cutting the fat and having to cut in the meat and it being painful, also absolutely right. And we need to be honest with the American people and say, this is going to hurt. There's going to be some hiccups in the economy whenever you hopefully fire half the federal workforce and you shut down a lot of these departments. And it's going to take a little while. I mean, even Ronald Reagan's tax cuts in 81 that led to the greatest peacetime economic expansion in history, that took 2 years to kick in. And it got worse before it got better, because it takes time for those things to catch up. And Trump's challenge is he's going to be coming in here to make all these good policies that are going to take time to kick in, while at the same time, the negative of the horrible policies of the last 4 years are just now really seeping into the economy. So he's got the headwinds of the Biden policies that were so bad, all the inflation from spending all this money and all those things, all the bad regulations, everything, all the shutting down of good things from happening. So all of that is catching up to us. You pay consequences for bad policies, and sometimes it takes time. So we have to deal with that in the next year and a half, 2 years, while at the same time kicking in the good stuff. And so, man, you're spot on, David. Thank you for those two comments. Now ask your question.
So yesterday, it was a Republican woman. I can't remember her name. I think she was in a green dress, and she was talking to Pam Bondi, and she was saying how excited she was that, you know, she's doing this, and she's, you know, being possibly nominated. And then she was also talking to the Democrats, and she was saying that, you know, I look over the aisle, and I'm using my own words here, but she's just like angry and befuddled that, you know, the Democrats are even doing this stuff. And my question is how is it that the Democrats have such a long leash? Like, why can't somebody just stop them, you know, without taking months and hundreds of thousands of dollars? I mean, it's like, ugh.
I know, man. It's the price of freedom, David. It's the price of freedom. You know, you gotta let people be stupid, and you gotta let people be obnoxious. And You know, it's the price of freedom. I mean, you know, I had one of my old board members on Patriot Academy. She used to say, life's not fair and some people are stupid. And I think that's so true. But in a free society, and certainly a society where you have free speech, and certainly a society where you have, you know, free, you know, supposed to be elections that allow for people to choose who they want to represent them, then you're going to have some wackadoodles, and you're going to have some crazy folks in Congress, and they're going to get their turn on the mic, and you just have to, unfortunately, put up with it. I mean, yes, you can have rules and procedures and all that and stop debate at some point, but I'm a fan of letting that happen and let the enemy speak and let them make their best case and then be good at countering it. Be effective at communicating why they're wrong, why they're foolish. Be witty and quippy, if that's a word, and be able to put them in their place and show how foolish they are, which I think Pam Bondi, just from the clips I saw, Pam Bondi and Pete Hegseth and others that have had their hearings this week, they've done a pretty good job of that. They've put the crazy people in their place and made them look the fool. So, you know, the free speech and frankly, just civil discourse, the arena of ideas, you're always going to have nails on the chalkboard type people, you know, where you sit there and you roll your eyes and you're like, how long do we have to put up with this? It's just the price of freedom. It's the price of having that arena. I can remember when I was a legislator being there for hours and hours and hours having to listen to sometimes the debate that was just so obnoxious and or even just boring sometimes. And thinking to myself, man, I wish we could short circuit this, or I wish we could skip this part, but realizing, no, that's the price of freedom. Everybody gets to have their voice. In fact, one of the things is kind of, but this was not your question, David, but it leads to this. If you go the direction that you're wanting to go, it leads to this. It used to be that when you go to a public hearing, that you get plenty of time to testify, and you get, everybody gets a chance to testify and have their voice heard. And we've fallen into this thing over the last, the left, they're the ones that did it, and I don't want us to ever be guilty of this, but they don't want to hear from the public. So they started, you know, having the police officers removing people at school board meetings for pointing out the trash that was being taught to our kids and the grooming and all that disgusting stuff. And it's why you've seen John Omachukwu be hauled out in handcuffs. It takes a lot of guys to haul out John Omachukwu. But I even tried to testify at my school board in you know, a little town outside of Austin, Texas. And, you know, they set the rules to where they made it, you know, not impossible, but you got to jump through all these hoops. And you got to be able to get there before 5 o'clock, which a lot of people can't. And you only get, you know, what, 60 seconds or 180 seconds. And they've just made it very, very difficult. Why? Because they don't want to hear the opposition. They're trying to do what you're asking for in Congress right now, which is just stop the nonsense and be able to move on to, and then who decides what's nonsense and what's actually good civil discourse. And if you control the microphone, if you're in charge and you silence the opposition or you make it very difficult for them to be able to speak, that's going to happen to you at some point. And that's what the left has been doing. At all of these levels of government, they've made it very difficult for anybody that disagrees with them to be able to speak and to be able to counter and just intellectual discourse. I mean, it's all we're asking for. We're not trying to, you know, do violence or any of those things. We just want to talk. We just want to be able to raise objections, raise questions about, is this the right way to spend the money? Is this the right proper role of government? Is this the, you know, those kind of questions. Should you be teaching this stuff to the kids? And that should be something that we lean into, not run away from. And so even when it's, you know, obnoxious, you know, nails on a chalkboard people, we need to be willing to endure the price of freedom and listen to them so that we can be listened to, so that we can have civil discourse, so that we can counter what they're saying. Now, granted, listen, this doesn't mean that you give people the opportunity to get up and lie and slander. There are you know, remedies in the law to prevent that. And unfortunately, that needs to change because the remedies in the law for that are the hurdle is too high for public figures. This New York Times v. Sullivan case from years ago has made the bar incredibly difficult, almost impossible, to win a defamation suit. So when one of these senators gets up and spews a lie about you as a nominee, you have virtually no recourse right now if they can just act like they thought it was true. If they believed it to be true, then they've got a defense. You know, if they, because you have to prove to win a libel or a defamation suit, whether it was libel or slander, you got to prove that they knew it was false, that they you know, damaged you when they said it, that they were malicious. I mean, all of, you got to jump. I forget. There's 4 points to being able to win whenever you're a public figure, and I've been through this. I actually won a defamation suit years ago. Got a settlement because a major media outlet in Texas and some politicians said some things that were absolutely not true, and it did damage and all those things. And anyway, it's hard to do. But don't let that's two different fights that need to be fought. And Clarence Thomas at the U.S. Supreme Court wants to overturn New York Times v. Sullivan. He agrees that we need to get a more rational basis for you lie about somebody, you say something that's false, you're recklessly negligent in what you say about someone and it damages their reputation, you ought to pay a price for that. Obviously, robust freedom of speech and all of those things. But the line right now is way too far in the advantage of the speaker and not to the person that's damaged. But that's a separate issue. To David's question and to David's point, we should not, in my opinion, limit free speech and limit on the front end. You don't say someone might say something that's not true, therefore let's shut it down. Or they might say something that would damage somebody, so let's not allow them to speak at all. That's not how you deal with it. You let them speak. You make it clear if you do lie and you slander, it's going to cost you big time. There's going to be massive lawsuits and will bankrupt you for doing it. And then people will be more careful. To say we're not going to let you speak because you might lie is like saying we're not going to let you have a gun because you might do something stupid with it. Instead of you have the gun, you have the ability to defend your family. That's a right. That's a God-given natural right. In the same way, you have a right to speak freely, and then you need to be responsible with it. With every right comes a responsibility. But I am all for these public entities getting back to the days where if you're in that position of being an elected official, if you're a public servant, you stay till midnight, 1, 2 in the morning, listening to the public testimony, letting people have their voice, letting them be heard. And as we enter these legislative sessions all over the country, I would encourage state legislators to pass rules that allow for that. I remember being up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning in some of my committee meetings because we wanted to give everybody a chance to speak. And the last thing we want to do is prevent people from being able to have their voice, even if it's obnoxious, even if it's nails on a chalkboard. But I'll tell you what, if you do allow for that freedom, if you do allow for that speech, you're going to be sharpened. You're going to arrive. It's like Patrick Henry said in his famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. He said, according to the magnitude of the subject ought to be the freedom of the debate. Only in this way can we arrive at the truth. And so what he was saying was, he goes on to say, you know, I'm not going to hold back my opinions out of fear of giving an offense. I'm more fearful of the creator of the universe than I am of offending you. So in other words, we should allow for freedom of debate. We should, according to the magnitude of the subject, if you're talking about the future of the country, if you're talking about the education of the children, if you're talking about kids being groomed, I mean, all those are big subjects. There ought to be complete freedom of the debate. It's just like with COVID, man. You talk about shutting down Earth. The freedom of the debate should have been unlimited, and yet they prevented us from saying anything in opposition to Pope Fauci, who hopefully ends up in jail as a result of this new administration and hopefully a Department of Justice that will go after him. That man did more damage to this country than any human being in history, and he ought to be in prison. And I love having the free speech to be able to say so. All right, lots of good stuff today, lots of good stuff coming. We will be with you on Monday. Walker will be with you tomorrow on Friday, and then he and I both on Monday. Me in the comfort of this studio right here where it's nice and warm, and Walker's going to be out there freezing. But we're going to have a great time on Monday. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. You've been listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.